What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loot Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Resident Daryl, and with me, my long-lost bearded brother. It's the Bearded Nerd. What's up, dude?
What's going on? I'm back.
He's back. It's like you got to play that Eric Bischoff music.
Guess who's better than ever.
Yeah, I forgot. It's been a while since I've actually recorded with another human being. It's been a few weeks, and I forgot that I've got all of the sound clips and stuff up here.
So, like, you forgot you could actually use something?
Yeah.
Noni.
Yeah. So I forgot these are there. So like this one right here. Trophy. So how you doing, man? You hit me up this morning. I was out working. Working both jobs, actually. And I was sourcing and sending emails at the same time. And so you said, hey, I'm at home. I've got the baby gate up. And I am ready to go. So here we are, an impromptu podcast, which is perfect because I just got back from vacation and it was time to drop an episode anyways. So, Zach, man, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've been super busy. Job and a 3-month-old have been keeping me busy. I got her to finally sleep and then I literally did the let's get ready to rumble thing just to test my mic and woke her up and scared her and she started yelling at me again. So I had to soothe that situation. But yeah, no, everything's been going really well.
Dang. Well, it is good to have you on. It's good to see you again and it's good to talk to you. So I know you and I started to kind of chat back and forth on the phone a little bit and we're like, you said, yeah, which is smart. Save it for the episode. So here we go. We're going to jump in. And you know what? This week's toast is not only going to go to the Patreon producers, but it's going to go to you, Zach. I brought out the hard stuff. I brought the good stuff.
No Diet Coke was Splenda. Sorry.
Dude, they don't do it anymore. That was a casualty of COVID. So here we go. This one goes out to you, Bearded Nerd. Congratulations on. Is that the new place as well?
No, I just. So we figured out my whole sleeping kind of thing. So I use an angled, like a wedge pillow now that helps me not snore as much. So my wife and I finally correlated back in the same room. Now the baby has a nursery. So my computer and everything is in the living room now. So I don't have my own space anymore. I've been segregated to the living room.
Okay. Okay. Hey, that's all good. That's all good. So here we go. This one is to you, to the new baby. Cause you haven't been on since the baby was born.
Yeah. Yeah, when we were like, I think we're done.
Well, we took a month off, you know, and then it was like, there was no way to make it work, all right, time-wise. So then I was like, well, you know what? I got these early morning pockets. I can just kind of reach across the time zones and pull people from the future. So occasionally we have Gareth on here. We occasionally have a couple of the other guys, a couple of the Godfo guys. So here we go. Excuse me. This one's to you. And our Patreon producers, thank you, MZ. Thank you, JT. And thank you, Matt G. We appreciate you guys. And thank you, Zach, for coming on. Is that a ghost?
It is.
Those are sweet, man.
Sour pink lemonade.
Like literally, they're sweet.
I just had the new one. It's like straw mango berry. Straw mango margarita. That's what it was. It was good.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. I'll mango your strawberry. All right, so here we go. I don't know what that means. So, man, it's been a crazy week. So since the last time I recorded, you know, we've been on the solo episodes, you know, I've kind of changed the format a little bit. Okay. So when I have a guest on, we do kind of business as usual. We run through what we've been playing. We've kind of incorporated a new segment into the show, Zach. So we're not just talking about video games all the time. For 2024, I've decided I'm going to watch more films.
Oh boy.
And I got one to talk about today. So it's games, it's films. I haven't been reading a ton of comic books with the exception of the Godfo Universe Volume 1. I did a review on the YouTube, which I haven't been using the YouTube. I've been locked out of it actually for 3 months. So I finally got logged back into our YouTube. So that stuff's going live again. But I did a review for the Godfo Universe, Live Not by Lies. It's actually Apoly and 20XX, Live Not by Lies, Volume 1.
My copy is on the way.
Mine is too. I'm so excited. I saw that I got the shipping notification this morning. So super stoked about that. So I got that going on. So we've added that segment to the show. And I've started on the solo episodes incorporating more news topics. Because, you know, when you have another human being here to talk to, it's easy to not talk about news and stay evergreen and just talk about games and conversation flows when it's just one dude by himself. And you're like, you know what? I got to give the people a quality, something worth listening to. So it gets a little harder to do that. So I've been borrowing from news stuff. And fortunately enough, it's all come in.
You turned into Tricky? What?
No. I'm not sitting here reading articles. I'm not going to Matt Scribbles or Joe Scribbles from IGN every week. But I am saying, hey, there's some things that are happening. Let's have some conversation about it. And I'm opening that up to the listeners. Okay. So we're going to jump right into that because I know you and I are going to have plenty of things to talk about, but also there's a lot going on right now and I'm curious to get your opinion. So before we get into all of that, Zach, it's been a while. What you been playing?
Oh man. So I stuck the needle into my arm and I started playing Baldur's Gate 3.
You've been banging them bears? No. Bear banging? I don't the bearded know. Bear banger. Holy crap. That's the episode name right there. Yeah. The bearded bear banger.
as long as you're the bear.
Hey, that's not very Christian.
But doing, doing, doing.
None of it is.
But now I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3. I stuck that needle in, and the needle hasn't come out. I'm currently playing Baldur's Gate 3 as we speak. It has consumed all of my time. It is so much fun. It is everything I've ever wanted in an RPG, and I get to play D&D constantly. So I've been, yeah. Nice. So I'm just playing D&D. That's all I'm doing. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. I dig. And then the wife and I have been keeping up with the tradition of playing games together when we're home. We actually just started Remnant 2 together a couple days ago. So I think we have about 6.5 hours of playtime together in it. It's a very, very good, very, very frustrating. It's like Dark Souls.
Nice.
But shooting.
Dark Souls with guns.
Yeah. And it's very, very, yesterday I literally was about to throw my controller. I was like, I'm done with this. I was like, I hate this game. This game sucks. I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm pleading the fifth. It's going back in the bin. In the bin. Going back to Game Pass. I'm returning it.
It's going in the delete folder.
Played a crap ton of Pow World.
Okay. Okay.
World has been. But it's turned me off because of the. I get the team size is small, so I'll give them that. But I can't play multiplayer on Xbox. And private servers are still a difficult thing for them to process. So I crash all the time. So I've just put it on hold until further notice.
Yeah, I've heard that the Xbox version is the lesser version.
Well, that's just because Microsoft has to approve every single update that they put out. And since it's such a small team of guys, they don't have the time to like pre-plan, hey, the update's going to come out this day. They're just, the update's done. Here it is. Can you please approve this?
I dig it. Very nice. I'm sure in the list of priorities, you know, console priority is a little lower because I was listening to a podcast the other day, an Xbox podcast, and they're like, yeah, the Xbox version is a few versions behind. And so that people are playing it and enjoying it. And it's setting the world on fire for sure. So awesome. Anything else outside of those two? Time sinks. Do you have time for anything else?
No, absolutely not. I played D&D every other Wednesday. Today was the exception. I had stuff to do this morning, so I missed our session today. And then I was like, I need something to do. So and I was like, wait.
Oh yes, I got no.
Wait, I need something to do. Wait, I got Daryl. I can't leave the house. I got the baby. We're good. I got this. We're good.
I could get an enema. I mean, it's probably better than doing the show with Daryl, but I don't know.
No, doing the show with Daryl is better than doing the show with Tricky. Tricky can't talk right now, apparently. So that's a
We're all blessed and better for it.
We're all praying for him, but
yeah, that too.
Hominis Domus, Spigots, Wallets, and Watch.
What's that? What's that thing on Austin Powers where he does the something wallet and watch?
It's like, yeah, that's yeah, Spigots, Wallets, and Watch.
That's so funny. That's funny. Awesome. All right, so I have been playing less than normal. But I do have some things to talk about. So I'm going to break my old PSNP right here. So I was on vacation this past week. So we jumped in. I tried a few different things out. Okay. So for starters, I got the platinum trophy for my first platinum in a couple months, for Swordbreaker on the PlayStation Vita. Chef's kiss. This is it's a choose your own adventure kind of game. But it's like old school adventure, so it's like everything's kind of still graphic. There's a little bit of motion in there, like a motion comic kind of thing occasionally. You're a knight, you have to go to the sword, you have multiple endings. I think it's like 15 endings or something crazy like that. And you'll get like a dialogue option. It's like, oh, there's a ghost lady and she's standing in the middle of the library. What do you do? Option A, you run. Option B, you confront. Option C, you slap her on the butt, which was actually an option. And when you do it, she screams at you and kills you. But it's really good. It's a really good little story. It didn't take, but I think it says right here on PSNP, I started it 2 years and 3 months ago. So I literally must have turned it on, like popped the first trophy. And then said, off. I'll come back to this later, and then didn't. I got the platinum trophy in that one. Awesome. Awesome little experience. And I did it. We were in our cabin. We're in the mountains. I'm sitting in our little, technically it's a condo, overlooking a river. And I'm sitting there and just kind of hanging out with the family and just kind of chipping away at this little game on the Vita. And I was like, oh man, got some trophies. Oh man. That's awesome. Did my first playthrough. I was like, well, let's see what the platinum looks like. And I found a text guide, super attainable. And, you know, you just kind of play to a certain point, stop, reload, play to a certain point, clean your trophies up that way. And I don't know, I might've done it in an hour or two. So it wasn't too bad, but it was an enjoyable little experience. So Swordbreaker on the Vita, there's probably other versions out there. Let me look. I'm clicking it now. Let's see. Yeah, so there's a EU version, a PS4 version, an American and EU PS4 version, and then the Vita EU and American version. So yeah, I'll definitely do another stack of that one because that was fun. So next up on my list, I finally kind of cleaned up all the trophies that I plan on getting in WWE 2K22. Excellent, excellent game. I think the only thing I have left, let me back that up. I can't get the platinum because the servers are down.
Ooh,
and I've got two random trophies that I'll get playing against AI. One of them is just doing the tutorial, so no big deal. And then I've got a couple more championships I have to win in the My Rise. So no, I have a few more trophies I'll get. Nothing crazy. But I'll definitely play through those and enjoy it. And it's a great game. 2K22 is a huge improvement out of the 2K series. And then we rolled straight into 2K23 over the weekend. Now, we packed our PS4, made it the primary, anticipating we weren't going to have any internet. And then I got a disc copy of 2K23, put it in, installed it, got it ready to go. We get to this condo. It is awesome. They've got easy access internet, a router in the room. Like, I didn't have to do any kind of weird web browser pop-up bullcrap in a hotel where you can't get your consoles to connect to it. So that was awesome. And just kind of chipping away at 2K23, playing a bunch of Hell in a Cell with my brother and my two boys, laughing hysterically. I have chosen to make Jinder Mahal my character choice. I've always been a Jinder fan, but then now that he got this last little rub from the internet, everybody's all of a sudden revisionist history. Oh, I was day one, don't hinder Jinder, post 3MB. I wasn't a 3MB Jinder fan, so I'm not going to sit there and lie to you and say that I was, okay? But when he came back, roided out, and got his first championship run when we first got into India, the Punjabi Prince, the modern day Maharaja. I've been all about it. So naturally, I'm Jinder Mahal or AJ Styles. Those are my two picks if I don't play a created character. So we played for hours, literal hours, three nights in a row, just playing over and over and over. Had an absolute blast. So 2K23 is really good. I feel like it might just be because I'm playing the PS5 version of 22, but the PS4 version of 23, I feel like 22 is a little smoother. But 23 is still really, really good. And then the next thing I've been playing, and I'll leave it at this, is Resistance Retribution. I've been playing the PSP port for PlayStation Plus Premium. That's a lot of P's, by the way. But this is one of my favorite PSP games ported to the PS4 and PS5 with trophies, Zach. With freaking trophies. And it is awesome. I stayed up last night for a couple hours, beat the first few missions. This is a platinum. I'll platinum both stacks. Oh my gosh. I got Killzone Liberation and Resistance Retribution. And they're on modern console. Like, bro. Bro, it's so cool. So I am super happy with that, man. I mean, literally PlayStation. Jimmy Ryan, he's not quite out yet. You know, Hiroki Totoki's taken over. Good old franchise worldwide. He who makes us whole. Jimmy Ryan was like, hey, my last order of business is I'm going to give you the Dad Station Portal. This is the ultimate companion piece to the PlayStation ecosystem. This thing, fire. Absolutely love it. I adore this thing. All right. Next up, he goes, by the way, Daryl, here's looking at you, kid. You've always been a believer. You've always been a supporter of Jimmy Ryan. So the franchise is going to leave you with a parting gift. He's like, here's one of your favorite PSP games of all time with trophies. Who even knows what he's got in store for me for next month, his actual last month in the job. So super excited about going through those games. If you haven't, Zach, I don't know if you have access to a PS4 currently or PS5, but bro.
Nope.
Bruh.
Nope, no access, no lucky.
Man, telling you, bro, it's good. It's good stuff. So, yeah, so that's me. That's what I've been playing. Now, Zach, I'll turn it over to you. What you been watching?
All right, so new anime came out. I've been watching Solo Leveling with the wife.
Sorry, I just threw up.
I know. No anime titties. Not yet.
Are you disappointed?
No, I've actually, I knew about this before it was coming out. I listened to the light novels when I used to work paint utilities walking around. And I'm on like the 7th out of 8 light novels. And I enjoyed that. So I started reading the manga. And the manga looked good. And I was like, I wonder how they're going to animate this. And they're like, oh, here's a present for you. So I've been looking forward to this anime for like a year straight.
Sweet.
And it's been fantastic. What else have we been watching?
Now, real quick. How does it feel to not do the utility job anymore? You feel pretty good about that?
Oh yeah. I'm so much happier now.
Good. I know for a while there, you were really like struggling with it. So
wasn't even the job. It was just the people. Yeah, it was the supervisors.
They tend to suck. As a former supervisor myself, we can be kind of crappy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was the supervisors. It was never the job itself wasn't hard. Everything, yeah. The supervisor sucked. Stressful. Was never home, which is another F in the chat.
Yeah, when you got a little one, you know, a fresh one, a bun out the oven, you got to be home. Definitely got to be there for them.
Yeah. We watched the new Hunger Games movie last night.
Isn't it like a musical?
No, actually. So Songbird is like, you'll meet her. She's the first character in the movie. It was a euphemism for she was kind of the main character. There were two main characters. There was her. And then it was like, it's like a prequel to the first one.
Gotcha.
Cause I think it's like the first one's like the 45th annual Hunger Games. And then that one, it jumps into takes place during the 10th annual, so there's like a 35 year gap. And it's about,
I've never seen any of them or read the books. My son has read all the books, and I own like multiple versions, multiple Blu-ray versions of the movies and digitally. I just have never watched them. So we started to watch them this past weekend, but we just didn't get around to finishing. So I'm gonna watch them soon.
We better watch them. They're decent movies. The first one was obviously iconic, and you know, made Jennifer Lawrence all her money.
Yeah, and she can be a total butt bag for the rest of her life because she's got that butt bag money.
Yep. Yep. She's not in this movie though, so there you go. Fortunate for you. I do plan on watching Oppenheimer here shortly because I heard it's really, really good. Then I also want to watch The Iron Claw.
Yes.
The Iron Claw, I have a way of watching the movies.
Oh, no, you're real.
Be more than happy to share it with you later. Did you know, did you have smart TVs in the house?
Every room. Well, I mean, every room that we have TVs, they're all smart.
If you have a Roku and you're connected to the same internet as your phone, you can AirPlay it from your phone to the TV.
Oh, sweet. I have multiple Rokus, Roku sticks, Roku boxes. I actually just bought a whole ton of junk off this guy. I had 3 Apple TVs, a couple Fire Sticks in there. I'm hoping the Fire Sticks were jailbroken, but I don't know.
Those are easy to do, though. Teach you how to do that, too. Super duper easy. People are just lazy and don't want to do it.
Like me.
Fair enough.
If I was smart, I would jailbreak it and watch wrestling. But, you know, I'd love to watch every week, every episode of wrestling on time. I would want to watch old TNA, dude. I've been getting this itch.
Yeah, same. Especially since they brought back old TNA.
Yeah. I want to see reruns of just like the whole, when AJ Styles and Kurt Angle were feuding, when Scott Steiner was cutting some of his most legendary promos, when he was over there working with Bubba Ray or Bully Ray. Bro.
I actually liked his, him and Petey Williams run. Little Pump.
Yeah.
Mini Papa Pump.
They were doing some fun stuff out there. And, dude, Scott Steiner was in rare form because he was just freaking rolling and just saying stuff. And 90% of it didn't make any sense. Like, I'll just sit there and watch, like Scott Steiner promos and stuff. Uh-huh. And, like, those runs with him and Bully Ray. And he was like, you got to get freaks. And he was, like, going on this whole tirade in the locker room. And Bully Ray's like, is that even English? It's so good. I sit back and I just cackle watching these promos. I'm like, I don't even know. Of course, his legendary math promo came from the TNA run. So that's the only copyright strike I've ever gotten on YouTube was using. I did some bad math in a YouTube video and I put a little clip of that in there and then I got flagged. I was like, you know what?
Why'd you do that?
Keep it because it's good. Good. I said, I even put a little text on there. This is my math teacher.
But yeah, no, that's about all I've been watching. Really. I still haven't watched The Flash. And that's definitely on my list too. My wife was literally just like, hey, we need to watch that sometime soon. And I'm like, yeah, I've literally been asking you to watch it since it hit Max. But
the first watch is the best. After that, it's not like a Snyder film where rewatching it, you find Easter eggs and more stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like the opposite. It's like the first time you watch it, it's like, oh, that's actually pretty funny. Second time you watch it, it's like none of these jokes are funny anymore. They're like a one and done. It's actually, in my opinion, kind of annoying the more you watch that movie. Because it's kind of one of those where I like, you know me, I like to, in the background, I like to have on like my favorite stuff, like Batman vs. Superman, Zack Snyder's Justice League, even Black Adam sometimes, Man of Steel. Those movies are like always on. And they're movies that like while I'm working and while I'm editing, while I'm doing stuff, it's like I can look up and go, oh man, I remember that scene. Oh man, I love that. With The Flash, like having it on with no volume is cool, but like the special effects look really bad in it. And they said they were intentional, but I just don't believe it. The special effects kind of look bad. So, like, to look at it, it's like, okay, whatever, you know. But if you listen to it, like, two Ezra Millers, one being increasingly more annoying than the other, that's not good background noise. That gives me anxiety.
I'm not a fan of his character as a person.
I don't like him. I don't like him as an actor. I don't like him as I like the CW TV show Flash.
Grant, yeah, 100%.
Whatever. I liked him a lot. So, but I don't like annoying characters. Like, I don't like Tom Holland. Like, I can't stand Tom Holland because his Spider-Man is so annoying. Even in the Uncharted movie, it was like, he wasn't annoying or as annoying, but like, he talks and I hear, Mr. Stark, Mr. Stark. And I can't do it. I can't. I just rewatched all the Spider-Man movies with the kids. And of course, the young ones are like, Tom Holland's their favorite. I'm like, yeah, they would be Gen Z little nerd. But like, you know, I'm over here like, give me Andrew Garfield. Give me Tobey Maguire. Put some dirt in your eye.
Don't hate. Appreciate.
That's right. But tis what it is. All right. So I'm going to talk about some films. So what I've been doing, Zach, is I've been talking about all these great movies I've been watching. Okay. I've watched
Batman versus all Superman these, is not
the greatest movie. You're right. Nope. It is the best. So I've been watching Sisu. I've been watching the Spider-Man films. Like I've been using this app called Letterboxd. I've been talking about it a decent amount here on the show. And it's a cool little app where you can kind of track what you watch. You can see reviews, you can see trailers, all that good stuff, right? And so like right now, Gaz just watched Land of Bad and gave it 4 out of 5 stars. So I can follow my friends on here and see what everybody's watching. Okay. And that's kind of how I'm keeping up with some of the stuff. You can create custom lists like trophies. And then as you watch movies, you can rate them and you can put them on your list. Okay. So I am bringing up a movie this week that I thought absolutely royally freaking sucked. Like 1 out of 5 stars. And that is Nope. Have you seen this?
No, it's people have said it's good though. That's the weird thing. It's because it's supposed to stand for not of planet Earth, right?
Correct. Yeah. And it sucks. Like, would I recommend it? Nope. Are the characters likable? Nope. How is the writing? Is it good? Nope. Like, it's not good. Like, there, I can't think of it. The only thing redeeming in this entire movie are these certain flashback sequences that happen to one of the characters. Okay. I did not like this movie at all. Like, I tried to enjoy it and I was like, I mean, because the thing is, this is like, first off, I was recommended to me. It's got some horror elements, it's sci-fi. I'm like, hey, these are my favorite stuff. And like, it starts off pretty, you know, straightforward, whatever. But this character right here, the dude, like this main character right here, uh-huh, he's fine. I like him. His sister, though, she is so obnoxious and annoying, and she's an overactor. And I did not like
Kiki Palmer, yeah.
Dude, she just like, she's just not likable. It's just not likable at all. Like, I don't. And he, even though he's a decent actor, the guy, he's kind of like, his character is kind of a loser, you know? So it's like, I don't know. There's nothing redeemable about these characters. I don't really care for them. And then the dude from Walking Dead, Steven Yeun, or however you say his last name, like, he's cool. And his character is pretty cool. But the flashbacks kind of like provide his motivations, and that's cool. But like, the alien stuff, I didn't really care for. Like, I just thought like some of the sub characters that are not featured on the front, you know, of the cover, like there's this one scene. Okay. This is literally like the part that just raked my nerves to the point of, I was like, nope, the movie sucks. And there's this bad A, he got a real deep voice and he comes into it and he's going to get the ultimate shot of these UFOs so that these people can make $1 million. And he's ominously getting ready to do his work and he's singing One Eyed, One Horn, Flying
Purple People Eater
over and over and over. And I'm like, who thought this was good? Because they should be kicked in the nuts. This sucks. Like, it is so, it's cringe. It's not even like, it's not even cringe. Like, it's B movie. Like, we're not even really taking ourselves serious cringe. It's like, it's filmed and produced and like the production quality is great. So it's almost like, yeah, we're kind of taking this serious. And this, there's like this weird, like, I think they want to be slapstick dark humor, but it's just not landing. And I'm like, dude, this sucks. So my personal opinion on Nope is, in fact, Nope. Do not watch it. That is the worst movie I've watched this year. And like, it is what it is. You know, they can't all be winners. So I've watched a few of them that have been really good. I just came off of a run of really good stuff. We watched White Noise. We watched Sixth Sense. And I was like, man, these are really good films. I just watched Sisu, which was a recommendation from Gareth. You know, I was like, man, this is a good film right here.
Is it like a martial arts film?
It takes place in like the 1940s. So during Nazi occupied Germany. But if this old coal miner, this old gold miner, if he was basically John Wick killing Nazis in the most over the top nonsensical way. Now there's certain scenes where it kind of like loses its skis. Like it's like, okay, I can't suspend disbelief that much, you know? But like overall, it's a good film to just sit back, turn your brain off and enjoy. So if you just like to see some old man gruesomely kill Nazis, like that's it, bro. John Wick style. Let's go.
Have you heard about the just horrendous reviews that Madam Web has been getting?
So I read some of it, and it looks like, you know, Sony has to use the IP. So it looks like this was kind of like in the vein of Morbius, which actually has scored lower than Morbius. I'm in a couple groups like where people discuss these films, and a lot of the people that saw it said it's actually a decent watch. But see, here's the thing, right? This is kind of one of those, you got to see it for yourself, because
Morbius.
I liked Morbius.
A lot of people didn't.
Right. It's not a great movie, but it's not a bad movie. You know, the kind of final climactic scene between him and the main villain is lackluster, but like, overall, it's kind of like a different take on a vampire story, you know, like, and then if you look at the Morbius character from the Spider-Man universe, like, it's a good foundation set forward to do some cool stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not great. But like, you know, Blade 1 was amazing. Blade 2 was really good. Blade 3 was kind of bad. I would put it in there somewhere between Blade 2 and 3 as far as like quality. You know, if it was given an R rating, I think it would be even better. I think the fact that it was, they did what they could with the PG-13 as far as like being a vampire movie. But yeah, I thought it was fine. I mean, I liked it better than Green Lantern. You know, Green Lantern's kind of crappy. Going back and revisiting the X-Men movies, I kind of like it a little bit better than some of those too. So I'm not really comparing it to anything fantastic, but it's not a fantastic movie. So I liked it just fine. Madam Web, I'm a little cautious of, just because our social political climate really does allow for them to go sideways with this one, you know, being a female led, you know, superhero right. movie. But here's the thing, right? So like, you got a daughter, I got a daughter. My daughter wants to see it. She's like, yeah, dude, this looks like it'd be something that I would enjoy, you know, a female superhero film. So like, I'm here for it as long as it doesn't, you know, they don't, it's like crap, you know what I'm saying? The problem is so many of these things are crap. It's like, you know, I don't know, we'll see. So I took her to see Captain Marvel, and I thought that movie was terrible. But
yeah, that movie was terrible, but
you know, it is what it is. So we'll check it out eventually. I don't know that we'll go to the theater to see it,
but
we'll definitely watch it, and I'll own it too. Like if it's halfway decent, I'll own it, you know. What's funny is a lot of the comments online are, it's Morbin time, like for Morbius. Like that was the what is the stupidest thing. And so yeah, so it's definitely it's Madam Morbin time now. That's what I was reading. So, but yeah, that's me. That's what I've been watching. So nothing crazy. I've been on a kick for Storage Wars. Have you ever seen that show?
Yes. And I'm getting that's like one of my shows that I'll throw on in the background if I'm like going to bed or I'm doing something, because you don't have to pay attention. You just look up right now. But right now that show for me has been That 70s Show. I've just been falling asleep to that every night.
Yeah. So the cool thing about Storage Wars is there's a guy named Daryl, spelled exactly like mine. and he's a little bit redneck, which I love. Mm-hmm. And so, but he's got a little bit of a raspy voice, and he's like, you know what? We're going to get this locker because I'm not going to take any more crap from Dave. And then it's like every time he wins a storage unit, a storage locker, he's like, well, that's a $30 bill. That's a $40 bill. Look, see that one? Look at there, Brandon. That's a $60 bill right there. And so, like, and then you got Dave, the guy that's like, yep.
Yeah.
He's got that really obnoxious, yep. So in the house, we're communicating, my wife and I, as if we are, you know, Storage Wars characters. So, like, last night, I was like looking at one of my commission checks. I was like, that's a $1,000 bill, you know, just throwing a number out there. I was like, yeah, if I get this deal, that's a $1,500 bill. And she looked at me, she's like, you're so stupid. And then she had asked if I wanted something for dinner or whatever. I was like, yeah. we've been going through these little spills where, you know,
she wants to smack you with something.
Yep. And she's like, all right. And we were at dinner the other day. She's like, don't forget to pay the lady. I was like, I love it. So
at least you're not watching trashy reality TV.
I mean, yeah, it's like, it could be worse. We could be watching Love Island, or right now she's watching like season 6 of Love is Blind, which I think is so garbage.
Yeah, mine's watching. She has her weekly shtick. She's watching some 90 Day Fiance crap.
Yeah, it's like, ugh, vomit. Like, really? Could you make me throw up any harder? But yeah, that's what she likes. My wife's into that crap. So, but yeah, dude. So we've been watching Storage Wars. I enjoy that one. And then what's the other? What else? I think that's it. Really? I think that's me. So, I plan on knocking out some cool stuff in this week. I've got some stuff pulled to the side. So, like, I bought out this guy's Blu-ray and DVD collection, and I've been selling on Whatnot, making way more money than I ever expected. Like, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays and box sets are kind of like, just there's not a lot of margin in there, so you got to get them super cheap. And then you got to find the right audience. And right now, people are buying them up and collecting. And you're starting to see some value in some stuff. But, like, for the most part, $1 to $3 is kind of where you're at on a lot of stuff, right? And since I've been just, you know, really doing well on Whatnot recently, I bought a media palette. So a palette full of DVDs, Blu-rays, VHS, and stuff like that. And I've done pretty well. I've tripled my money on it, so no big deal. You know, just, and I got about 700, maybe 600, you know, DVDs and stuff still left to sell. So it'll be an easy, you know, probably 4X, you know, maybe 5X my money, just depending on how, if I just want to clearance it out, I could get it out faster. If I want to make, you know what I'm saying, fast nickels, slow dimes. I keep going, but I started pulling stuff out, right? And so between this collection that I bought off this guy and this media palette, I pulled out Firefly Season 1. I've never seen that. I hear it's really great, which I think there's only one season, right? Have you ever watched Firefly?
No, I've never seen it, but yeah, I think there's only one season.
Yeah, so Firefly, I pulled that out, and then I pulled out I think I pulled that out of the media palette, and then this dude's collection I bought, I pulled out the Blu-ray copy of Dollhouse Season 1 with Elijah Dushku. Do you ever watch that?
Nope. Don't even know what you're talking about.
It's supposed to be really good. So, it's supposed to be a good show. But yeah, old Joss Whedon directed that show.
Whedon.
Old Josh Whedon, before he decided to destroy the legacy of Zack Snyder. So yeah, so that's been me. So I got a few things, you know, I got a few films stacked up to the side I'm gonna watch. And I just picked up the Blu-ray copy of Reindeer Games with Ben Affleck. You ever seen that?
Nope, I haven't seen that either.
That's a dope one. That's a dope one. It's a casino heist movie. It's really good.
Okay.
So I got some cool stuff set aside that I'm gonna watch in the coming weeks. And I'm gonna be finishing up some more Attack on Titan. So I think I'm like,
still haven't finished that yet.
No, it's not for me.
It's a slow burn.
I think so. What I keep reading is that the second season gets better.
Yeah, the first season is super slow.
Yes. So the first season's slow. So I think once I get into the second season, I'll do better with it. But it's just a lot of running and yelling, you know, a lot of the main character screaming and experiencing trauma. So I think what I'm going to end up doing is kind of wrapping up season one in the next, maybe even this week, and then just kind of finishing up doing my review on season one. And instead of doing it in small pieces, because I think I did a review on the first couple episodes. And then I was like, I'll just do them in chunks. I watched like two or three episodes at a time. And then by the end of the week, I'm like, I don't even freaking know what I saw other than screaming and crying. So I think what I'm going to do is just do like season reviews, you know, and finish them up. But
probably a good idea.
Yeah. But I mean, the figures and the action and the statues and stuff I keep seeing look amazing. So I feel like there's got to be some cool stuff in there. Oh, yeah. I just don't know that I've really made it to that yet. But also picking people up and eating them, that's cool. So
yeah,
not terrible. But so that is what I've been playing up to, all the good stuff. Let's get into the topic at hand. So how versed are you in the current news landscape of the PlayStation and the Xbox, Zach?
About as versed as everyone saying that Xbox is going to be putting Game Pass on PlayStation. That's what everyone thinks, at least.
Well, they definitely dispelled that rumor, but the first of the four games that they confirmed are coming to PlayStation comes out March, I think, 19th, or is it the March 9th? Let me look. Hi-Fi Rush is coming to PlayStation technically next month from the time we're talking. It is the 18th of March. So that one right there, that was the big one. You know, that was kind of like the big kind of, oh yeah, we're definitely getting that one. And listening to the little did you listen to the Xbox podcast business meeting last week?
No. And so the four are, Sea of Thieves is going to PlayStation as well. Sea of Thieves, Grounded, Peniment, and Hi-Fi Rush are okay, the four.
I know those were the four that were rumored. I didn't know if all four were.
Sea of Thieves is a big one, but I don't know. I feel like they caught Sea of Thieves way too late in Sea of Thieves' life cycle.
Well, this might be, you know, this might be what they need to get a kind of a boost in it. So I've listened to a bunch of breakdowns on this thing, and I read some of the interviews that came out after the Xbox podcast. It is a good 22-minute podcast worth listening to Phil Spencer, Sarah Bond, and Matt Booty, you know, kind of go over what the future looks like. They didn't eat a bunch of crow, you know, because they haven't fully committed, but they did lay down the groundwork. And if you listen to what Phil Spencer says and then read what he says on The Verge in his follow-up interview, which I think was probably done around the same time, it just went live afterwards. It seems very much like his exact words were, it's going to be these four and we're going to learn. And then that's kind of where it goes. And then his verbiage changes a little bit with that Verge interview, but it sounds like we're putting ourselves in a position to where we're not overcommitting. We're not trying to blow up our fan base. We are going to do more hardware. They did confirm that. So we're staying in the game. Game Pass is staying on Xbox, where Xbox can be played. So your smart apps, you know, TVs, your PC, all that stuff. And then they said that, you know, these four games are going to go over. And he was very, very funny about the way he worded it. You know, some of these games were never intended to be, you know, big title exclusives, which, you know, it makes a lot of sense. When you look at Hi-Fi Rush is a Japanese team that put out a game on an American console that historically doesn't sell in their home territory. So in order for people to experience their game, you either got to have something that's so great that it just decides to change the market and sell a bunch of consoles over there, or you got to put it out on other platforms. So this would be great for Hi-Fi Rush. And this is my boy, Shinji Mikami, well, his team, rather, that put this one out. So I'm excited. I played it a little bit on Game Pass, and it's a decent game. I'm excited for this to come to PlayStation. Have you tried this one at all? Have you tried Hi-Fi Rush before?
No, I haven't heard anything about it, actually. It's supposed to be like some I thought it was like some dodgeball or some skating game. I don't know. The graphics are very, very colorful and poppy. And
yeah, no, it's a third person action combat game, but it's kind of like rhythm based on the combat. So there's always music playing. Your character is always kind of bouncing back and forth. And like, sure, you can button mash and kill stuff. And there's like big over the top crazy bosses and stuff like that. But if you time your combos to the beats that are being played around you, it kind of bonuses and does a whole bunch of stuff. So it's pretty cool, man. It's a cool little game. And I think that this is me personally, this is to me. Okay. I said a bunch of stuff on the last podcast kind of about this and what my hopes were, what my actual thoughts were. Seems like we landed closer to what my actual predictions would be rather than what I wanted to happen, which is kind of what I expected. Sure, we didn't get Gears of War and we didn't get Halo yet.
Halo going to PlayStation at this point is the only way that franchise is saved. Cross-platform multiplayer is the only way that they save Infinite right now. Yep. I hop back in again, and they've done a really good job at expanding the multiplayer playlist, but the gameplay still feels laggy, and I still feel like it's lacking. It doesn't have nearly the amount of weapons that 5 did. It doesn't have nearly the amount of love that it should have gotten.
Yep. And what's interesting to me is the idea of course, this is my bias, because I want it to happen. But you can imagine the player count. If you put it on PlayStation and you got Master Chief Collection going over there. Like, and then here's the thing, right? So former IGN reporters have said that there was a build of Master Chief Collection being created for PlayStation. That this conversation, they were going to put it out across the board, you know, when it first launched. There's DS, or there's Nintendo DS copies of Halo. There's builds of that playable. That stuff's on the internet. There was a PlayStation 3 build, a demo of Gears of War on PS3. So like, this stuff exists, or at least in some form has been experimented with. So the idea of getting these, and Phil Spencer said, you know, that in 5 to 6 years, the exclusives won't be a thing anymore. So,
right.
And I know this, you might have some telemetry that suggests that across the board you're gonna see less and less exclusives because people are gonna be more. PlayStation's jumping on the PC bandwagon. They already Hiroki Totoki said that he's going to be he's a Jim Ryan's replacement, by the way. He's interested in putting games on PC. He just came through and basically on the latest financial call last week berated the game studios. So these are great, nice, very intelligent, very creative people, but they don't know how to manage money and they're not accountable. Like, he said that to the board. So you guys all thought Jimmy Ryan was nickel and diamond. Wait till you get freaking Hiroki Totoki in there. He already put everyone on notice and said, you're going to have to tighten up your belts, tighten up your budgets. And the fact that he openly said these game studios are not accountable for hitting their production deadlines and staying under budget was pretty ballsy. But this is a Sony CFO coming in to PlayStation. And, you know, he's in there to clean up the mess. So tighten up that wallet. So it's pretty interesting across the board. Lots of news, lots of things coming out. But I do believe, you know, kind of circling back to it, that if we got some Halo, some Gears, and some bigger franchises from Xbox on those platforms, bro. And I think that that's what Phil Spencer was saying when he said that in 5 or 6 years, there won't really be such a thing as exclusives. I think what's going to happen is in order for Game Pass to flourish, for them to make the money they need to make to sustain, in the same way both parties are saying, hey, some things got to give, we got to stay healthy, you know. It's like getting that game on the day one. I'll get Master Chief Collection again day one.
Was Skull and Bones on PlayStation as well?
I know it just came out as supposed to be.
Oh yeah, it's on 5. Okay.
Yeah
I was about to say, because that's a, I'll say that would have been a draw, because they're talking about that's going to kill Sea of Thieves. Cause did it just come out? It came out on the 15th, I think, right? The 13th. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It came out last week. Supposedly it's from what I was reading, it's kind of bare bones and kind of boring. They're like, the initial allure of it's really cool, but it kind of launched the same way Sea of Thieves launched. It was like, this is neat and everything, but it's kind of bare bones and you'll need more content. But that game was in development for what, 100 years, 10 years? So it's like, well, how did you not have all the content in the world when that thing went live? So
because it's such a graphically intense game that they just didn't fucking produce what they could.
That's what it sounds like.
I mean,
so as matter of fact, I'm pulling up the Push Square review of Skull and Bones. And they gave it a 7 out of 10. They said that the visuals are great, the weather effects are great, reactive factions and the involved economy is cool, really great naval combat, which I would hope so, immersive atmosphere, but it's light on gameplay variety, it's grindy, and it lacks a narrative.
So still like Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves,
like Sea of Thieves.
It's still that way.
So... But I mean, hey, you know what? It we might get see if thieves come over there and show them how to make a real pirate game.
They said, "Here, let me just build Pirate Simulator."
Basically. So, but yeah, dude, that's pretty interesting. So what do you think, man? Like, let's say these four games come over, and yeah, we know it's happening. Okay. They said there's going to be four. They weren't going to announce them. Okay. Phil Spencer said they're not going to announce them. And then the Spanish YouTube channel for whoever leaked the video showing the PS5 announcement for, it's the Spanish YouTube channel for Xbox. Leaked the Hi-Fi Rush announcement trailer for PS5. So we know one of the four that has been rumored to come over is actually happening. It starts next month. So let's just say, hypothetically, Zach, all four of these games come out. They do really well. And then Xbox looks at it and says, man, like, we can make a lot of money selling our games on other platforms. They can come over to, we can take that money, reinvest it in our studios, reinvest it into these other games, put them exclusive on Game Pass for a little while, and then kick them out. You know what I'm saying? So the idea would be you go to Game Pass to get it first, then, you know, 6 months to a year, you get it on the other platforms to make that money on the back end. So let's just say that's successful. What would you like to see from Xbox come to PlayStation or to Switch?
Honestly, the Switch lacks one very, very important thing. And that is a majority of any type of FPS game.
Dude.
Switch has Fortnite. That's it.
Yep.
That's roughly it. I mean, I've seen like the free to play games that, like, you know, have their dedicated communities, like Vigor and those kinds of games that are just like our little arena shooters. But the Switch doesn't have any type of dedicated like FPS game that they, you know, I mean, I guess, I mean, the closest thing you're gonna get is Splatoon, probably,
right?
And that's not even really an FPS game, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, it's a splooger. I mean, a shooter.
Yeah, it's an action shooter. But however you want to explain it. Yeah, some FPS games would be really nice. I think since they now own Activision Blizzard, another thing that'd be really cool is some more like MMORPGs, because, you know, with the new, with like the OLED and stuff, the new docks have a port for Ethernet. So being able to Ethernet port would be super duper nice to play those online games, so you don't have to depend on Wi-Fi. I feel like what they need to do is they need to build the Switch up to be almost like a Steam Deck competitor, because at this point it's just software updates.
What's interesting is I picked up an OLED dock today, as a matter of fact. And I was like, man, this looks cool. I didn't realize they had the Ethernet port on there.
Yeah, they're super smooth. Like I said, that's the biggest thing that I see them needing to do with Nintendo. I mean, PlayStation-wise, PlayStation still has its, you know, it has its exclusives. It has enough. It's always had enough for me to not, like I said, I enjoy my Xbox, but that's also because it's just what I'm used to. I like the controller. That's just it's literally an accessory preference at this point.
Yep.
And I enjoy, the accessory and interface preference. It's not even a hardware preference. At this point, their hardwares are on par with one another. Each of them have their own exclusives that we all enjoy playing. So I don't think this is at this point in time, it's console war anymore. I just think it's everybody's going to start sharing. It's whatever your preference is, and on interface, controller, and software. It's literally it.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I think they're pretty much on par with each other. And at this point now, it's just, like you said, which accessory, which one do you want to bedazzle yourself with? So like, as for, like for me, I've always been a PlayStation controller fan. I like the PlayStation controllers. I like the, I just don't like stagger sticks. But now that I have this, dude, this Portal, that's all I use anymore. Like I don't even sit in front of my console and play. And when I do, the controller feels so tiny now because this thing is so freaking huge. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just like, yeah, my PlayStation 5 is great and all, but my PlayStation Portal is where it's at. I freaking love this thing, dude. Like I can't speak highly enough of it. Like playing games natively with no internet would be the only thing to make it better. Like if they literally gave me this exact same machine, nothing changed, but it just was able to download games and play offline, they would seriously be, I would never sit in front of my TV ever again. You know, or if I did, it would be rare. You know, I mean, the occasional horror game or something, but even then I would be playing with headphones because that's, the horror games are a better experience that way. So it's incredible. So, you know, I've already said my piece on what I want to see, you know, so like getting Hi-Fi Rush is just part one of let's go. I know Phil Spencer said that we're not trying to open the floodgates and throw it all out there and get everybody all crazy and worried or whatever. But I do believe that, you know, it's happening. And depending on how successful they are, depends on, you know, what we get next. Now, these games don't sell. We ain't gonna get nothing. He'll say, it was an experiment. It was always an experiment. This was never supposed to be everything. So, but I believe wholeheartedly that if these games do well over here, that we're going to see more stuff come. And I would be really, dude, I don't even want their new stuff. I just want their old stuff. I didn't got it in my head that this is happening. So now I'm just like, give me a Gears of War collection. Give me the freaking MCC or Master Chief Collection, yeah. Give me that, but of Gears of War, the Phoenix Saga or something like that. So freaking, oh, I'm so excited. I can't even stand myself. So, all right. What were you about to say?
Honestly, I think that's the biggest thing I think Xbox has been going for as well. And I feel like at some point we're going to get something. They don't even need to put anything out at this point because we get stuff like the G Cloud and we get stuff like the Steam Deck that can do Game Pass. You know, maybe if they implemented something to where they could do it natively on those devices, that would be better. And I think that's the next step. So they don't even have to create the companion because what was that? That was $200, right?
This was $200. Yeah.
Yeah. So I get it. Cause you know, a normal controller running about $80-$90 for a decent or a named controller.
Yeah, even a scuff is going to run you $200. So,
yeah, I don't know. I like that Sony did that just for the simple fact that for people like us that have busy lives that need to multitask, and need to do a million things, or want to spend time with their family.
Yep.
They're super duper beneficial for that. Like I use my I use my backbone for my phone all the time, so I can play just like even just fiddle around with like a minor game.
I got this one. And I've got the Backbone One, which, look at this. PlayStation. Isn't that cool?
You see, that's my biggest thing, though, is at this point, PlayStation's kind of dropped the ball when it comes to their catalog. I can't, if I don't have a PlayStation console, that Backbone doesn't do me any good to play PlayStation games in my house.
Well, so, yes and no. So, our cloud streaming, which is similar to xCloud, is launching this year. So, sure, right now this is a remote play device, whereas the Xbox version is a cloud streaming device. Like, yes, that is technically correct. But remote play has come so far, and you can remote play. You can use can't you use it through the PC? Isn't there a PC app you can use? Or is that still coming off the console? Because I know it used to be, before they changed it to PlayStation Premium, you had PS Now, and you could run the PS Now app and stream games through the app.
You can on the PC, though, but if I want to, I can't do it on my phone. So
right, we, unless you it, have a console.
Yeah, it's not going to do me any good unless I have a console. So I haven't. I think I canceled mine. I haven't even been paying for it because there's just not enough that I want to play actively on there that is worth my $17 a month or my hundred and some odd dollars a year.
Yep. Well, for us, so we just went to the mountains. No, that do your thing, man. So we just went to the mountains, right? So my kid streamed both. He streamed PlayStation from the remote play from the console, right, to his backbone on the road, and then he also streamed, you know, Siege through xCloud, through Game Pass, and both experiences were pretty comparable to each other. The Xbox ran a little bit better because it's pulling straight from the cloud, not going to the cloud to the console. So He had a little bit better of an experience in there. And then going through the mountains, of course, the internet was just trash. We couldn't do anything over there. But the trip to and from, he used both. And he's playing shooters, you know, reaction-based shooters. So he's able to enjoy both of them pretty well. So that's been pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've tried playing shooters. It's just, it's a good way to put it. I don't latency feel comfortable. Exists. It's well, yeah, latency exists. It's not even just that. It's playing on such a small screen makes it a lot harder. So what a lot of people don't understand is in like, that's still too small for me. That's, I mean, she does say that to me all the time. When I'm playing a shooter on a large TV, if it's not like a campaign based shooter, if it's not like something like Remnant, or it's not something that's, you know, something that doesn't require like a competitive edge,
I get it.
Then a large TV is fine. Even playing them on a smaller device is okay-ish. I'm still not a fan because it's really hard to see because you're supposed to see little things and
right, absolutely.
So my medium ground is my monitors. My monitors are the perfect size. They're about roughly the size of a 24-inch. They're 24-inch monitors. They're perfect. I can sit right here in front of them. I can see everything. Now playing it on other things like that, or playing a competitive shooter on a large TV, I have to move my head more. I feel like there's a lot more. So like that's like shooters are meant for something that is this size. I don't care what anyone says anymore. Unless you're playing fucking four person LAN party Halo on a big TV, the big TV is pretty much useless. Big TVs are for cinematic experience. Smaller devices like your phones, I feel like are more for your puzzle games, your relaxing RPGs, stuff that you can, you know, you can sit back and you can just wind down with. So, you know, they're hitting that niche. That's where everything needs to go in the long run. And Microsoft, like I said, Microsoft's really doing a good job at hitting that. See, I don't think that's why they're caring too terribly much about console sales, because they haven't really said, oh, well, we're lacking so hard in console sales because of X, Y, and Z. You know, this is why, you know, this is what we're going to do to fix it. They don't care about their console sales. They literally made next gen hardware for those of us that still want a physical console.
Yep.
And they are putting all of their time and their effort into digital media, which is where the world is moving. But they're doing a good job.
They're doing a job. Yeah, I as someone who fears the lack of physical future, because I've seen what it's done to other mediums, like it's kind of sad seeing that they're taking that plunge and really leaning more and more into the discless future. But they really are building up their platform to be the place to go to not own anything, which I don't mean, and I don't want to say that. I don't mean that in like a bad way, but it's like, hey, you can plug in and play anywhere at any time and have a great experience. And they really do nail that. I have to give them their flowers. When you jump in on xCloud and you jump in, you know, streaming to the backbone and everything, Xbox runs really well, arguably much better than any of the competition. So that's nice. The fact that they're putting their, you know, Game Pass app on TVs. Like I bought a Series S the other day, right? Got it sitting on my desk. And I bought it off a veteran, and we were just having a conversation, and he goes, yeah, man, this thing's in pristine condition. And he goes, yeah, I'm only selling it because I turned on my Samsung TV and now the Game Pass app is on there. He's like, I don't need the console. He's like, I'm just going to use it through my TV. And so he sold me his Series S for $150. And I was just like, dude, I'll take it. And so this is our travel Series S now. And it's cool. I mean, this thing's tiny. Do you have a Series X or S?
All right. So I just upgraded. So I have the Series S in the house now. That's the one that my wife is using. So we went up from the 1X. Now she has a Series S that I was using. I got a good deal through Verizon. They were doing, hey, sign up for our home internet, get a free Xbox and a $200 gift card to Amazon. And I was like, $700 for free? Say less. And I love my Series X more than my Series S. So the space thing was a big issue for me because I like playing bigger games. Baldur's Gate 3 is 140 gigabytes. It is a massive game. It is, and the worst part is it's not even like very heavily into like the multiplayer realm like Call of Duty is. There you can play with four people, but there are 5,000 different endings to this game.
Jeez.
Plus, there is so much content and so much stuff that you can do in this game. Chef's kiss. C'est magnifique.
Nice.
But then I also, you know, I play Call of Duty as well. And Call of Duty's right now, if you have both the campaign, like, because it's all one now. So Modern Warfare 2 and 3 are all together, and you have to have the multiplayer for 2 and 3 to play everything. And they need to fucking figure out a way to streamline that. That's a little ridiculous.
It's
212 gigabytes.
It's your whole hard drive. I mean,
yeah.
You get a 512 hard drive, you're only getting what? 300
something. Yeah. Because of it reserves a certain amount of space for the operating system.
So like, that's the whole thing, dude. Like, I mean, that's crazy. It's just, that's unfortunate, you know, but the little man is what we're calling the Xbox Series S. That thing's sweet, dude. It's so tiny.
It's small, but it's also, it's so much faster than our previous gens.
Yeah.
So much faster.
Cause I've got two Xbox Ones in the house right now, four technically, but two of them I haven't tested yet. But yeah, I've got the blue one, the Battlefield and Gears of War Slim, the Xbox One S. And then I've got the Xbox One, the white Slim. That's like the terabyte edition. And so, and then I got a guy who wants to trade me right now, an Xbox One S all digital. So the sad version, for one of these Guitar Hero guitars I have. So tomorrow I might have one of those too.
Okay. So the biggest thing I can say about any of the digital consoles and especially your Series S. So when I got my Series S, I bought a hard drive thinking, okay, cool, I'll probably be able to play games off it. But that wasn't the case because obviously they have locked in the native part of their getting an SSD to actually work.
Yep.
So I got a little 4 terabyte hard drive and the thing works great. So like Cold War, my wife still likes playing Cold War, Outbreak, Zombies, whatever, every once in a while. It's like, it's still like 120 gigs. I can throw it on a 4 terabyte hard drive and launch it off of that. So any Xbox One game or anything like that you can play, you can still load it on that hard drive and play it just fine.
Yep.
So majority of the games, like put Halo 5 on there, I can put whatever else. So new game or like one or two new games on the actual console itself. Cause those are probably going to be the main ones you play. And then all your nostalgia and whatever you just like, maybe want to pick up one day, just throw it on a hard drive.
Yeah,
and that's the big thing, especially for the new consoles. Just throw it on a hard drive, guys. Get a hard drive. It's a lot cheaper than upgrading your SSD or buying the expansion drives. And because you're not playing more than one game at a time. If you're playing Call of Duty, you're playing fucking Call of Duty. If you're playing Fortnite, you can still fit another game because Fortnite is the most conservative game. That and Apex they're only 60 gigs. So
So I've just upgraded the internal. So on the PS5, there's an internal expansion bay similar to the S and the X. You can get their little card and put it on the back.
Yeah.
With the PS5, you can put an SSD.
It's an M.2
drive or something inside.
Yep.
Right. So I've got the internal 750 gigs, whatever it is. Okay. I just upgraded and put a terabyte M.2 in there last night. So I've got the two, and then I've got a 2 terabyte external hard drive for my PS4 games. So all in all, I've got almost 4 terabytes of space reserved for games. And because the wrestling games are huge too, man. They're not quite 100 gigs, but they're huge. And I'm bouncing between two of them, you know. And then I've got two brand new Western Digital Black M.2 2 terabyte sticks right now.
Did you not sell them?
Well, I sold one this morning on eBay, so I sold it, and it paid for the two. So I got the Sony-branded Seagate M.2, the 1 terabyte. I got it in a trade deal last week. So I was like, I'll just use the 1 terabyte, and I'll sell the two terabytes. So that's kind of what I'm doing. And for Christmas, I got my son a 1 terabyte external for his PS4 stuff. So I kind of feel like I got all these hard drives all at once, and I just need to just sell them and make some money and, you know, whatever. So that's what I did.
So big thing about those M.2s is, and a lot of people don't know, if you are building a PC, you can put it in your PC.
Really?
Those ones you have are, it says for, it should say on the box for PC, PS4, and PS5. Yeah, guys, check your M.2s if you're trying to upgrade your console, your console storage.
I need to. So, all right. Well, hey, you know what? We're kind of getting about quitting time. Sounds like you got to go back on to baby duty. So, Zach, man, I really appreciate you coming on here, talking shop with me, dude. It's really great to see you. It's really great to talk to you. And I'm sure the listeners will be glad to have the bearded bear banger.
And the people are still saying TBN. Yeah.
Yeah. So he really has since you started with the LA Knight stuff, he really has won me over. So
fucking love him.
All right, guys. Well, this has been the Loot Bros Podcast. Thank you so much, Zach, for coming on. Thank you so much, listeners. Thank you, patrons. Go check your Patreon feed. There's plenty of content on there for you. New stuff coming. Resident Daryl YouTube. I've done a short a day almost every day for the past few weeks. Long form video coming out hopefully this week. We'll see how much editing time I have left. And we will catch you guys on the next one.
Peace.
Don't forget, anime's for pervs. What you ever? The Lord is sovereign.